would let's just bow our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord for some guidance. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather together. We thank you for this country in which we live. We thank you that on this 4th of July, this Independence Day, we pray, O God, that this country of ours, that we all the inhabitants of it, might remember that you are God, that you are our Creator, and that you have endowed us with certain inalienable rights. We thank you for the gathering, to be able to gather together, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of worship. We thank you and praise you. We pray, O God, that in this hour, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would sense your presence, and that we would follow you, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And we pray for this community. We pray that you speak to the hearts of all who reside in this community. We ask that there be a movement of repentance from sin and a turning to you, and to see that you are God, that you in Christ Jesus are the great and good shepherd. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done and all that you are doing, but we just pray that you would just speak to each heart here this morning. As you said in your word, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, that you would be there in the midst of them. So we thank you and praise you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts, that you have a word for us this day. We ask for forgiveness where we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And we think of that wonderful commandment that you gave us, Lord Jesus. A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And we pray, Father, that that love, the love of Jesus Christ, might dwell in each one of us richly, and that we would be willing to share it to one another in our community, but first and foremost, to those of the household of faith. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, with thanksgiving, help us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first hymn number is 396. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And if we have difficulty with the piano playing, we can sing it a cappella. I don't know if they're hearing us back there. Thank you. Hark to the shepherd's voice, I hear. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
Thank you.
us are acquainted with the 20th service psalm, where it says that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, that's a comforting thought. That the Lord Jesus is our good and great shepherd. We live in days where there's uncertainty and people are looking here and there for guidance. There is what you would call a mass falling away from our Christian heritage in this country. And there are many who rejoice in that. In the book of Jeremiah, I was reading, and there's a verse that stuck out. It was actually a few verses that came to my attention. Woe be unto the pastors, the shepherds, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. It will come to pass. Verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. There's a falling away from truth. But here it gives a warning to those who destroy and scatter the flock of God. Woe to the shepherds, the persons that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. God refers to his people as the sheep of his pasture. And he loves his sheep. He cares for them. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34, it's in the context of the feeding of the 5,000. And here we see our Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, the shepherd of the people of his pastures, to be compassionate, the compassionate good shepherd. He had compassion for the lost. And it reads, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach and feed them many things. Teach them many things. I can speak for myself. There's times we need encouragement. And I sense there's a lack of searching for the truth in our communities. But here is a group of people, many people, that were actually following Jesus, looking for Jesus, had a hunger. I'm sure they didn't fully comprehend why Jesus came. There was something down deep inside them that they knew that they needed. We remember this passage for the feeding of 5,000 people, physical feeding. But Jesus came to meet that spiritual need. They were lost, and they needed to see, to hear, and to know the compassion of the Good Shepherd Jesus. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, we read, there is a way that seems right to a man, to a person, but the end, its end, is the way of death. Would you be willing to risk eternity on what seems right or what is in truth right? We must indeed know the right way. Our Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, and this is a verse that we hear often, especially in the congregation, but I wonder how many in our neighborhoods have heard this verse, where Jesus, referring to himself as the great I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was saying, I am the way of truth. I am the way of life. Jesus is the only way. He is the embodiment of truth. And he is the source of life. Period. The way of Christ Jesus is exclusive and it's absolute. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. It's not just a good suggestion that he is making, as he referred to a commandment that he gave, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's exclusive in this commandment, and he's absolute in it. And when we refer to the truth of Jesus Christ, in legal terms, the truth that Jesus Christ our Lord is beyond the shadow of doubt. We cannot come to him in doubt. We have to come to him in faith, believing and knowing that he is, and that he is able to save us to the uttermost. The life that Jesus gives us is eternal. He said, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So we see that the life that is embodied in our Lord Jesus Christ transcends the physical. It's a miraculous life. It's a life-changing life. It's a life that gives us hope and lasts forever. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, he said, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, in other words, loyal love, I have drawn you. That's an encouraging thought. And just let's reflect for a moment. Refer to your own personal experience when you first saw the light, when you were walking in darkness, and the Holy Spirit convicted you of the sin that was inherent in your life. And you came to that place where you cried out to God, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Maybe not in those words. But you saw that need that you had to turn from sin. But then you had this, in the midst of all this, you had this sense of belonging, that someone was speaking to you, as it were, an out-of-the-body experience. No one physically maybe came up to you, but the Holy Spirit, God, came to you and spoke to your heart wherever you were at that time. And you recognized love. Love that sought you out. Love that cared for you beyond any way we can humanly express. That reached you in the depths of your being and brought you to that place of remorse for the way you had been living and the way you had been treating your Creator. But that love when you came to him in repentance saying, "Forgive me, for I have sinned against you," he forgave you. Not only did he forgive you, but he cleansed you of all your sins and gave you the strength and the faith to trust him. And that's why you are here this day. You came because your Lord God, your good and faithful shepherd, bid you come. Some of you I've known for years. I was talking to Mother on the way home yesterday from English Center. I cannot remember a time in my lifetime where it was not in the Lord's house, in the gathering of his people, at least one day on a Sunday. That's nothing to brag about. The scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. When you take your children to hear God's word preached and taught, you are doing them eternal service. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. The Lord, my shepherd, my good shepherd, is my teacher, and he is my peace. I'd like to come back to that topic of peace later. We, the sheep of his pasture, are his purchased possession. We sang that hymn, "I belong to Jesus." In John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And before I read it, I just like to make this comment. We hear the Good Shepherd's voice in his word. The scripture says in the Gospel of John, the very first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when you hear me say the Word, I want you to think of Jesus. For he indeed is the eternal Word of God. It's the Word that became flesh, took upon the likeness of humanity, and dwelt among us. The Word of God came from the realms of glory, because it was the Word, and it is the Word that's going to save us. Jesus said, "By the fruit ye shall know them." Know them about what? That they are Christians, that they are followers, that they are my disciples. By the fruit. Reverence for God's word shows spiritual health. Meditate upon that. Reverence for God's word. Reverence for Jesus shows spiritual health. When you walk into a gathering and everyone's shy about the Word of God, overly concerned about maybe hurting someone's feelings, not a very good sign of one's spiritual health. But for those who have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, when the doors are open and they're there, it shows at the very least that there's a desire. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. But he uses that, and we talked about that 2 months ago, or weeks ago. When I hear I am, Jesus says I am, I go back to the book of Exodus, where God reveals himself to the people of Israel through Moses, identifies himself as I am. I am the good shepherd. And Jesus says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. I know my sheep. The word my, they belong to him. God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for them. They are his purchased possession. Those who confess to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and say that they are Christians, they're followers of Jesus Christ. But they also know, as the psalmist wrote, David wrote, when he read and he spoke, we read in the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew to whom he belonged. He knew that he was not the captain of his own destiny. He knew that the Lord was the way through the wilderness, through the difficulties of life. He knew unequivocally that the Lord was the truth. He knew that Jesus, that the Lord God Almighty, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the truth and the way. He knew it. The Lord is my shepherd. But here we see Jesus says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. I am known by my own. I am known by my own. I know my sheep. But they knew me. They know me. Has given to me will come to me, he said, and I will in no wise cast them out. I belong to Jesus. To Jesus. If you are in Christ, you belong to God. I am known by my own. It's nice to have a sense of belonging. Especially during times such as the 4th of July or around holidays, there are people who do not have family and do not have a sense of belonging. We belong to God's family. How? Through Jesus Christ. We were brought in. We were brought in. Isaiah spoke this way, Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall, referring to the Lord, our Lord Jesus, he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, close to his heart, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What an encouragement. What a comforting thought. This passage shows a compassionate Savior. But it also offers us rest and encouragement for those who are faithful. David referred to this feeling as the loving kindness and the tender mercy of God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The psalmist wrote, I shall not have want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. A resting place. We talked about how when we think of the word Word, we should think of Jesus, who is the eternal Word. When we read the scriptures in our private devotions, in our daily devotions, do you experience comfort and encouragement? A sense, a real sense of belonging? Jesus is very near to his flock and to his people. He is indeed the great and good shepherd. He knows who his sheep are, but do you know him? If you know not Jesus, you are lost. We think of our neighbors. Do we have compassion for them? Do we have compassion for our neighbors? When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 14. We read, "At one time, you were," referring to the sheep, "you were without Christ," you were without the great shepherd, "aliens and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Let us just stop there for a moment. In the context of our neighbors, that's where you were at one time. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second greatest commandment. But to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. This is a message to me.
By the blood of the same Christ.
This did not come about easily. The cost cannot be measured in human terms. That's the proof of God's love. Was the blood that His Son shed for your salvation. To purchase you. To save you from sin. Verse 14. For He is our peace. He is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now I want to get a picture here. There are partitions within this building. But in our fallen state, our state outside of Christ, there is a partition, a wall that separates us from relationship with God. And that wall, sin. Jesus, by the shedding of His blood, broke down that wall, tore it down, removed it. There's a word that we use, reconciliation. We were reconciled to God. We were brought into a peaceful relationship through God, through Jesus Christ. He took the curse, the burden, the debt, the cost of sin away. That stood in our way. That was the wall we kept running into. We read in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man. Many will tell you that there's another way. It doesn't matter what way you choose that you can get to heaven. We were taught that in school. There is a way that seems right, but its end is the way of death. And Jesus took that all away. Because He's the only way, but He is the way. He's the perfect way. He's the holy way. He's the only way. Do you know the way? The apostles, people referred in biblical days that they were people of the way. The way, Jesus. The family to which the believer belongs to is a family established by the faithful and everlasting love of God. Well, I hope this word is comforting to you. And I hope and pray that you know Jesus Christ to be a comfort and to know Him as your Savior. But it's much more, it is so much more than words spoken by a man. It's life. The Word of God brings life. A couple weeks ago, a person said to me here locally, speaking across the street, and the person was talking about someone came to help them. And that person fell in love with this other person. And the person said to me, How do you tiptoe out of a relationship? And so for some reason, a song came to my, and I wrote it down. And I'll share it with you. I'll try to play it on my guitar. And this is the sermon is concluded, but this is an addition to share this with you.
need to see, not to see love in human terms, you need to see the love of God as eternal. And the tune of this is not traditional, so it might throw a little some of you off. But it's more contemporary. But it's the one that came to me.
caught in the fence or whatever, they say, Abba, Abba. And to me, Abba is very similar to Abba Father.
Amen.
So the Lord is deep trouble, especially with our soul. Call out to the Father.
Abba. Did you hear that, Bob? Yeah, Tom said that he remembers my dad talking about it, that when a sheep would get caught in a fence, they'd go Abba, like Abba, our Father, crying for help. Usually when somebody's in trouble, when they're children, they usually cry out, Mama. but it refers to the our Father in heaven. He is like under the wings, David talks about, under the shelter of the Almighty, protected, and we have that sense. And you know, this issue of possession, we being in the Lord's possession, a mother bear, you mess with her cubs, what happens to you? Not a very good picture. You make a contact with a hen who has her flock, and you're going to get flocked. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And that one passage in Jeremiah 23, where it says, woe, woe, another warning to shepherds who scattered and destroy the flock and try to cause. And it does happen. We need to go on and be encouraged. Well, the Lord bless you and thank you so much for coming.
You brought that car new, you got from you?
It was a loaner. I mean, it was only had like 3,000 miles on it.
Oh, okay. Morning, Francis.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Good, Harriet.
Nice to see you guys. Good to hear this. Hey, this is what you do to him. Yes. I told him, I'll judge the song.
I hope so.
It didn't be down.
I didn't see the
bell
come down, so I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, Nathaniel said it sounded like he was real thankful that it's being fixed. He said that when his friend, one of his roommates, told him that he wouldn't have, if he had got the cash settled right in the insurance, he wouldn't have gotten anything near what he had because, you know, you don't know the history of the car, you don't know.
I did a lot of used car. Private owner, and it turns out the guy was a true suggester.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Matter of fact, he put 30,000 miles on the car. He calls an insurance adjuster job a dream job. Because body repairman. So he knew that. New car stuff. Mm-hmm. Probably all came in handy.
I put
some offering in that box where by one
out of that's fine, sir. Thank you.
Far back.
Yeah. Yep. That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah, we had a good time with Daniel yesterday. We're doing study right nation with him. So we were in chapter 12 yesterday, so he was all excited about chapter 12. Is it the best chapter? Yeah. So he's enjoying the study.
Was it Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, every week we would do a
Zoom Bible study.
No, just over the phone.
Follow.
Yeah.
My son and his wife are
Are they?
Yeah. Peggy, his wife, says, he said, about 8 years ago, my brother, anyhow, I think he was the best ever around. So I heard him before. Sounded like he might be having a church. They moved away from him. He moved away from his church. So there's too many old people there. And so now they're at a place where they're using it. And that type of church. She joined a Bible study. So she's doing better. So I told her, I thought I heard her.
If it's done the wrong way, if she's in the Word, it can get her attention.
Practical. So, her husband was son. He had a heart attack. She made pretty good for him. I told my doctor to see him straight. I personally believe in quality of life. Instead of worrying about this, worrying about that, I just live life.
Well, that's like the COVID thing. People live with such fear that
they're not hurt too. Bugaboo about that. I didn't hear something this week. YouTube about how the Democrats would like to keep you in the fear of the environment, fear of the global warming.
It increases their power.
We have to try something. There was a tax. They were put in your ear.
Bob's birthday is Saturday.
Back then.
What is it?
Is he 17?
I don't know if it worked yet or not.
Rick, we'll see you.
I'll see you at the beginning of the month. Well,
oh no, we got a sing thing.
Yeah, a week from Thursday.
I was the same thing about. You know how these little signs with needles, needles on it to have like for graduation, kids that graduate, you put it out in the yard or a politician. Why can't you get a sign and put it out in the corner out here by the corner? Sing or something like that. I was telling Danny if he wants to do a service once a month. There's a lot of people I know that come because it's so simple. It's not elaborate. It's great. It's the old EUB. But anyway,
bring it
in. I said, well, I can't. They need to see. And that's what they're looking for. And I thought, these little signs. I said, you can put them up on a Wednesday. Take them up on a Sunday because Christ was crucified on Wednesday, raised on Sunday. And then when they see that sign, they'll get used to saying, well, that's what it is. And then tell them. But this is just progression, food for thought down the
line. Usually, the politician is supposed to ask you for permission to put it in.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we gave permission once. Once. And now when it's politics time, the sign is automatically there.
I have to come back and help Danny close it down, I guess. I'm back.
Same here.
But food for thought, right? Yeah. Well, on that, something to build this, because I had a lady here at the last thing. She was so in tears that she didn't realize that this had been cleaned out and redone, and it had such a low volume cost, but in other words, nobody knew about it. But she said it felt just like when she used to teach Sunday school. Well, me.
That was our biggest turnout, the last hymn sing so far. It's,
if I get around, but that's like your sermon. There is people starving for this. Mm-hmm. I told Dan, it's like, okay, right now, this time of year, you see these conflicts going through the air. And not the time, you know. I said, there's a lot of people searching for a church or a place to go worship God.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, Rick, they're afraid to go because of it's at the wrong pretense.
It's a business.
They're
going to
see you. Mm-hmm. So we'll get it. All right, but that's just food for thought.
Yeah.
We'll see you.
Okay. Till a week from Thursday?
I don't think so.
Dan's looking for something to put in here. To take him maybe to the nursing home. Or...
Yeah.
Why doesn't your door unlock for you?
I don't know.
Seems like it should.
It should. It shouldn't lock up just because you started already, should it?
I didn't start it until after
you
opened it.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know, Rick.
How's your knee today?
It's okay right now.
Yeah. Mm. Hopefully Hannah got the message. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover. Hey Siri, turn off Bluetooth. Hey Siri, turn off Bluetooth. Like, no Siri. Hey Siri, turn off Bluetooth. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover. Oh. Beverly Hills must be at his family this weekend.
No, they're up at Sharon.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
How's our mileage now?
I don't know. It says call in progress, honey. I don't know what you're doing with my stuff, but I try and end it and it doesn't end. I can't tell you anything. Can you fiddle with your phone and do something with it? It says you have a call in progress. You've been talking for minutes on the phone. 2276, you're talking to yourself.
Okay. Hey Siri, turn off voiceover.
I don't know why I can't end it. But I can't.
Bluetooth. Hey Siri, turn off Bluetooth. Hey Siri, turn on voiceover.
Dinghies, but I can't tell you how much gas mileage we're doing. It's like it's hung up and start over again, but I don't know. Because now instead of 44 seconds or 4 minutes, it's 35, 36 seconds.
I don't know. I can't end it. Hello?
Why would you be talking to yourself?
I don't know. Just seeing if anybody's there.
If it's 2276, it's your own number.
Yeah.
Get your phone and let's see if we can do something about it. Pull over up here and we'll play with it. It's annoying. I don't know why your phone has to take over everything. It doesn't look like you're on the phone. I don't know what to tell you, hon.
Just reboot the phone then.
Well, you can do that, can't you?
No, because then it calls 911.
Well, how do I reboot the phone? If you can't do it, how can I? So, what are we doing here, honey?
We're shutting it down.
How do you reboot?
You hit the volume control and the power button on the side. And
which volume control? There's up and there's a down.
Either one.
So, you want me to hit that and
press
what else?
Press them and the power button on the other side.
So, just one of them?
No, you have to press them both at the same time.
You have to hit both volume buttons and the one on the other side?
No, just one or the other of the power button or one or the other of volume and the
power button on the other side. And then
now, how do I know it didn't do SOS?
Because it'll show you on the screen that it's dialing them, but you said it's already dialing somebody, so.